brought to you by Penguin.
D. A Tale of Two Worlds by Michelle Faber. Read by Isabel Adamako Young. 1. First, slightly shorter and significantly less hazardous, half, set in this world. To begin with, the first ray of light each morning always made her feel the sun was in the wrong place, or she was in the wrong place, or both. She would wake in her big, soft bed, under a duvet decorated with smiling blonde princesses, and the cold English light would already be busy filling up the room, looking weird. She told her friend Mariette about this, and Mariette said, "It must be because you're missing the light back home." "Home?" said Diccolo. "Where you're from?" "I suppose so," said Diccolo. But she didn't suppose so, really. She had no memories of where she was from, and she'd never been back there. It didn't even exist. Mariette, Diccolo's best friend, came from France. Diccolo hadn't been there either, but it existed for sure. People went there all the time. It was just across the channel. On clear days, peering out over the cliffs at Corba, she could even see it. It was a subtle haze between the silvery grey of the water and the blue of the sky. The continent of Europe was very near. Ferries sailed back and forth from the white cliffs of Dover to a vaguely visible port called Calais, passing Corba on the way through. Under the sea, there was a tunnel for cars, lorries and other vehicles, connecting England to the world beyond. During the summer, it brought busloads of tourists to visit Corba. The buses would park next to the avenue called the Promenade, and whole families of French people would walk along the cliffside, speaking their language, eating English snacks. Germans and Japanese and Spaniards and Italians and Americans too. All these people came from proper countries, countries that got mentioned in newspapers and had politicians who shook other politicians' hands while photographers took pictures. Fiona, one of Diccolo's other pals, came from Scotland, which was also a country, even though you didn't have to cross the sea to get there. It was cool to come from Scotland. Everybody had heard of it, yet it was far away with magnificent ancient mountains and big modern cities, and it was on TV quite often. A good combination. The place Diccolo came from was never on TV, and nobody had heard of it. Sometimes people would say they'd heard of it, but after a while she would realise that they really meant another country whose name sounded similar, but wasn't it. "I'm not from Somalia," she would say. "I'm from Somaliland." People would look at her disbelievingly, as if she'd just told them that she came from France land or Australia land, as if she was just being silly. Or they would ask, "What's the difference?" And she couldn't answer, because she didn't really know. A leaflet with advice. Some names were a problem to have, and others weren't. Names like Gail and Sarah and Mariette and Lucy and Susan and even Siobhan were okay. But Diccolo was too unusual and needed tweaking. Her friends called her Dickie. A few of the other girls called her Dick, and she wasn't sure if they meant it to be insulting. Diccolo sometimes had trouble figuring out if the other girls were being friendly to her or not. Not long after starting at secondary school, she'd been given a leaflet with advice about how to cope with bullying. She hadn't yet got around to reading it when an older girl, called Kim, squirted glue in her hair on purpose. Diccolo had a book in her hands at the time, a big heavy one about history, and she hit the older girl on the forehead with it so hard that Kim fell over backwards and knocked over several of her chums. It was a very bad thing to do, and it could have caused brain damage, as her guidance teacher explained later. And when Diccolo got home, she read the leaflet about bullying and had to admit that the suggestions in it didn't include knocking your tormentors flat. Anyway, nobody bullied Diccolo after that.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?